Welcome to another episode of This Week in Health Tech. This show provides commentary, news, and perspectives on the latest trends in health tech, and we feature seasoned, experienced industry experts. And today, we have our guest on the show. We have Assistant VP of Digital Engagement at Baptist Health, Kevin Smith. Kevin, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. And I know we connected for a little bit, and we'll talk about digital marketing and especially AI in digital marketing. Which, by the way, before we go into it, have you, Kevin, I don't know if you have, like, what kind of phone do you use today?
iPhone.
iPhone, yeah. Like, same for me. You know, I got the new iPhone 15 Pro Max, and it's great. It's excellent. But it's still, I feel like it's always, you know, the same old phone in a way. I mean, there's lots of new capabilities and all that, which is nice, you know, newer processor and all that, but I feel like it's still a very much an app-based phone.
Right.
And, you know, it, like me and a couple of friends, we were talking about this new, it's called, the devices, it's all based on AI, and it's called a large action model device. So, and it's called Rabbit. You know, I think there's a couple others, but this one looked really good. And it's a large action model AI device, and pretty much it has one button on it, and you know, and obviously it has a camera. But the main thing is you talk to it, and it performs the actions for you automatically. Instead of, oh, what app do I need to use now? Do I need to use Uber to call a car, or you know, do I need to use Expedia to book a flight, or you know, whatever you want to do? This one, you actually tell it, hey, I need to go from here to here, book me a flight. And it's going to figure out the best way to do that, do it for you, and then give you options. And you just say, yep, this one is good. You know, kind of the AI is doing all the work for you instead of you having to do all the work and going through many different apps and all that, right? Like today, our phones are full of apps.
Right.
Anyways, I just thought, I was like, wow, this is coming. I mean, finally, we may have a huge change in the way we use our phones, you know. Maybe for a while we may be carrying around two phones like the way we did, you know, like a pager and a phone a long time ago. But now it might be like, oh, this is my old, you know, app-based phone, and here's my new AI phone. Anyways, I just thought that was kind of really, really neat. They had a really cool demo, and anyways, I just kind of brought this, you know, I don't know if you have heard anything about it like this, but it's exciting.
It's like it kind of makes me think a little bit about, you know, Google SGE now, where, you know, this basically the, I always say this wrong. I always want to call it the search generated experience. I think it's actually like search generative experience maybe, but
okay.
It makes me think a little bit about that, because what we're really doing is when you're making a search on Google, it's, you expect to get, well, back in the day, you would get like a, you know, the 10 blue links or whatever, and whatever most closely matched, you click on it and go off. And now it's more, you know, they went for a long time trying to do an answer engine and all that. So if you look something up, they would, you know, either in a knowledge box or something else, they would pop up an answer to your question. And as that got better and better, people in my industry or our industry, you know, we started seeing a drop in search and a drop in traffic and all this, because there were zero click searches. And now they've rolled out the search generative experience, which is really taking, I think, because I think everybody is still learning a lot about this. It's just like the tip of the iceberg of what they're doing with Gen AI, and that it's taking an amalgamation of everything that they're finding, not just to support your query, but also what they know about you to find the right answer. And it's kind of like that of you asking your phone this, and it gives you the right answer without you having to have an app. They're kind of doing that in the search experience, where, you know, you're going to see the voice search is going to become, you know, better than ever before. And Gen AI is allowing them, in my opinion, to translate that into, you know, the older type of search of just going to a page and all that, and becoming more like Google Assistant, and kind of seeing Gen AI baked into a lot of those widely used, well, for Google products here, like Gmail or YouTube and Cal and all that stuff, But I think it's just going to roll out and roll out more, that the SGE is going to really dramatically change our experience with search as digital marketers. And how are we working with this now? Are the ways we have always done things still going to be viable channels? Or are there different ways that we need to look at how we're spinning out or producing content or producing information that our customers are looking for in order to get them the results that they want, when they want it, and how they want it? If that how they want it is often going to be dictated by the engine or the AI engine that they're using, it opens up a plethora of new possibilities and challenges for all of us. And
that's really, I guess.
In some ways it's job security. Maybe in some ways. No.
In technology, I feel like people are always questioning, you know, it's like, oh, is AI going to replace a lot of jobs? Maybe, but I feel like, you know, if you evolve with it, there's going to be a lot of job security, because now things will change even more faster, right? So I think it's just keeping up with it. And I know I want to, you know, give you a chance to kind of introduce yourself a little bit more and you know, talk about a little bit Baptist Health, digital properties and whatnot. But, you know, that just kind of gave me, I just wanted to add a little bit to what you just talked about, which was really good. I mean, I feel like even on the websites itself, right? Like everyone has a search engine on their website, and I don't know which, some may use Google search embedded, or, you know, there's a lot of different ones that you can do or create your own. But that, again, now you're going to have to update that as well, right? Because people are not just going to be happy with just the links, and it's like, oh, here's five pages of results and go and find the right one.
Right.
You know, that's going to become a really old experience. So yeah, that's a really good point in terms of how you present that, and, you know, kind of goes with my whole example of the new AI phone. So yeah, thanks for bringing that up. And yeah, we want to go more into that, but maybe, you know, before we go into it, do you want to talk a little bit about Baptist Health Kentucky and, you know, the digital, what's the latest thing, you know, what's going on at Baptist?
Sure. So yeah, so I'm a AVP of digital engagement for Baptist Health. I've been here for 9.5 years, almost 10 years. Previous to that was with the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, pretty much the same role. My team at Baptist has really dramatically kind of evolved over and grown over the past decade. When I first joined, I was brought in to bring a comprehensive and cohesive digital strategy to the health system for, you know, Baptist Health had traditionally operated as individual hospitals under a kind of system umbrella, but it was very decentralized. And speaking in digital marketing terms, there were 60 some odd different websites, you know, every hospital and a bunch of service lines, and they all had their own social media stuff and everything. And so I was tasked with kind of getting the online strategy up and going. And over the past decade, I think we're at 12 people now that are on the digital team. And we have significant responsibilities both for all the external online properties and marketing for Baptist Health that are not authenticated. But we also do quite a bit of you know, kind of behind the scenes digital marketing, digital advertising, work really closely with our digital health and innovation teams to try to kind of take the pulse of what the markets are looking for, how we can take advantage of new technologies and new innovations, and how we can kind of communicate those with public. And then, of course, you know, we run BaptistHealth.com and all of those associated properties. So we're really excited for 2024. We have a lot of big projects that are going to be on our board this year, as well as for the, you know, probably spanning over the next year or so. But for us, the biggest ones are really, you know, we touched on AI. That's obviously on the tip of everyone's tongue these days, but I think we're still figuring out a lot of the best ways to use it and how we can set the correct kind of frameworks and processes in place to ensure that it's we're using it correctly for our healthcare system and not just a little bit more wild, wild west. But then also, you know, with some of the new interpretations, or I guess maybe they're not new anymore, but some of the guidance from HHS on what constitutes tracking and what constitutes PHI and how healthcare systems need to respond to that. That's the biggest one. That's our biggest priority for 2024 is implementing kind of a new analytics system so we can get back to knowing what's happening when patients and visitors are coming to our websites and where they falling off or bottlenecking or what information can we do to have them give them a better online experience.
Yeah. And I kind of break it into, I want to respond to the first part of it, you know, where sure. you were saying, and, you know, a lot of different health systems and everyone had their own digital properties. And, you know, I can, I know that for a fact because I was also, you know, we were at Tito Inc. We had a partnership with Hardin Memorial, which is now Baptist mm-hmm. Hardin. And now, you know, we are really happy to work with Baptist Corporate as well. But yeah, I mean, that must have been a lot of work in terms of, hey, here we are today. And, you know, the future roadmap of bringing everyone under one umbrella and kind of, I mean, your site is, the public website is huge now, but at the same time, you can get everything in one place, right? So,
right.
But now where do you go? How do you enhance that experience with new tools, maybe with new, you know, AI tools? And part of it, you know, you just went into the whole analytics and HHS, you know, guidance. I mean, that has a huge impact. So maybe if you can kind of summarize a little bit for some of our listeners who may not know exactly, you know, what that guidance is and, you know, how that's impacting health systems and the websites and analytics, if you don't mind.
Yes. I guess it was in spring of 2022, I think. I could be a little bit off on that, but, you know, there's always been a little bit of consternation with healthcare systems and some maybe more regulated entities using some different tracking technologies. And most healthcare systems have some processes in place that would at least evaluate some of the tracking technologies to determine if they were safe to be used on public-facing unauthenticated web pages. There's a report from the markup that came out in 2022 in spring, I guess, that highlighted quite a few healthcare systems that were using the Facebook Metapixel, as well as Google Analytics, I would say improperly, to be nice. Essentially sending PHI to organizations that really they shouldn't have.
Right.
It raised a lot of eyebrows, and I think that started a lot of conversations within our industry. And around December of 2022, the HHS came out with a new kind of health information policy or guidance materials for the use of online tracking technologies by HIPAA-covered entities and associates. And it really broadened, in my opinion, what would be considered a transfer of PHI. And IP addresses have always been part of one of the 18 indicators for PHI. However, that's always been one that's a little bit kind of gray. So I think most of us in digital marketing and IT and all that recognize that IP addresses are machines. They're not really people. Multiple people can have the same IP address and it transfers. It doesn't stick with one person. It's not like a social security number or something like that. And that's how tracking technologies work, really. But one of the biggest parts was HHS kind of bolding that IP address line, and then also really extending that healthcare systems or covered entities need to consider that as a PHI on unauthenticated web pages. So basically saying if I am going to any sort of hospital system website and looking at, you know, baptisthealth.com/cancercare, and Baptist Health is using a tracking technology like Google Analytics, that is perceived as a breach of PHI, even on an unauthenticated page. And that's a whole cloth 180 total change from the way things like that have been handled in the past.
And I wonder, like, you know, is that because the IP address doesn't change that often anymore? I mean, again, you know, I don't know, like, I haven't read into too much detail on why they are so strict now and, you know, the whole new response related to it. But I can tell you personally, like, I know even the IP address at my home doesn't change very often. Like, the way, you know, before, the way the connections were, you know, over the phone lines or, you know, even the cable internet, a lot of times it used to change. But I feel like with the fiber internet, it doesn't change that often. Like, because we have, you know, we have to provide our IP addresses many times for whitelisting for certain things. And I have provided my home address a lot of, you know, working from home many times. And it's like, oh yeah, no, that IP address hasn't changed in a long time. Yeah. So, you know, now it's easy to be like, oh yeah, no, that's Vic. He was on our website. Yep.
That's, you know? That's Vic is at this address or in this neighborhood. And right. And that's kind of where the HHS, I think, is coming from, is that as some of the technologies that kind of gird the internet have changed and improved, yeah, that some of the things that we used to take for granted are a little bit less, kind of less clear, and that you can potentially track somebody down in that manner. Even if Google Analytics is hashing a CID and everything else, there are ways to get away to kind of reverse engineer that. So for Baptist Health, I mean, we removed all tracking technologies in 2022. A lot of healthcare systems did the same. A lot of them took their time in trying to figure out how, you know, what they would do in 2023 and kind of, is this going to stick? Should we go somewhere else? Should we dial down our analytics and what we're tracking? Should we totally remove it? Should we not listen or keep doing what we're doing until something else changes and all that? So we took all tracking technologies off that were, you know, kind of on-page tracking technologies. And over the past year, we had launched the new website 12 days before we did that. So we've been somewhat flying blind for a little over a year now. But spent that year trying to find analytic solutions that would be compliant and that would sign BAAs and that would, you know, eliminate the concerns that HHS is bubbling up on the use of online tracking technology, so we can again get back to, you know, serving our patients and our public better. And I should mention there is a lawsuit or lawsuit filed by the American Hospital Association, I think it was, about this specific thing, and essentially saying that this, you know, this is too broad and this is you're detracting from patients, you know, online patient experience and satisfaction and all that, and who knows where all it goes. I mean, I think ultimately it's a good thing. It's coming from a good place of securing data and reflecting the new world that we live in, but I'm not sure the messaging and the intent matched the messaging and the and the clarity that we were given.
And like, I don't know how much, you know, time they gave organizations to, I mean, I guess it's not really you. It's one of those things, like you said, you know, some organizations still haven't removed the Google Analytics from their websites, and I don't know what the impact is from a legal standpoint. And you know, that's not, we are not the experts, but I think it was a great decision, or probably, you know, makes sense to be safe and protect the consumers, the patients in this case, obviously, and their data. But, you know, again, like, organizations have been using Google Analytics for how long, and all the work that you put in.
Right.
You know, from a business analysis and CRM, you know, integration and like all that, is gone. And
yep.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a lot of work. I mean, how do you, you know, and you guys are looking at different tools. I mean, I think, and I researched a little bit, you know, is that a quick way to kind of get around this? And I know there's a couple of solutions out there, like, for example, FreshPaint, mm-hmm. you know, has a way of like, hey, don't really get rid of your Google Analytics, but apply our code on top of it, which pretty mm-hmm. much, I think it makes it hard to track the IP address. But again, it's, you know, you probably know more about it, the whole ID masking and, you know, if that's the right way to go, or is it just better to kind of, like you were saying, go with a tool that will sign the BAA, right? And, right. and it's more safer.
Yeah, I think it's, in a lot of ways, it's really up to how risk averse or conservative the organization or the legal department, yeah. whatever it is. You know, FreshPaint is I really think they're a great solution, and they were probably one of the first ones when all this was going on. They were one of the first ones that really, they were already around, but I think they recognized the opportunity that had been presented to them, and they were doing some aggressive marketing. I know a lot of healthcare systems have looked at them. It's basically just you can keep your Google Analytics and everything that you've invested in. For us, it's been for nearly a decade of time and building out a custom build out of GTM and Google. We're on 360, so Google 360. We have a team that was devoted to our analytics and optimization. One of the guys on our team had spent multiple years of his career with us doing that and building it from the ground up, and had gotten us to, we were sending hundreds of reports that were going from analytics to Google Data Studio on, that were customizable and unique to service lines and unique to different audiences. Wow. And they were tremendously, really great visual. He had done a great job, and they're gone. Wow. And so something like FreshPaint was really attractive because it allows you to keep some of that foundation that you built, and you layer on the CDP. And then at that point you can really fine tune and adjust what is being sent to different places in terms of data from your website to different, you know, vendors or advertisers or whatever. There's other options that are out there. There was a company called Pivic that has been around for quite a few years, but really is kind of very similar to Google Analytics in terms of look and feel of the back end for administrators and users. It's implemented much the same way, and they will sign a BAA, which obviously Google will not do, which is part of the issue with Google Analytics. And a lot of other ones, but there are also issues with some of these that are inherent to the platforms themselves. Some of them have data centers that are international that some healthcare systems or legal groups may not like. There's something about all of them that I think you have to find one that fits your need for your health system and is going to satisfy your security team and your legal team and all of that. That hopefully it satisfies the needs of the digital marketing team as well. Although at times that might feel a little bit secondary when you're going through the process,
which is kind of a little backwards. But
right, you
know,
exactly.
What can we do in this new world that we are living in? Especially, you know, we read about it every day in the news, right? You don't want to be one of those organizations that where the PHI. Yeah. is now out there and in the wrong hands. But no, thanks for sharing those thoughts in terms of, you know, where do you go from here in terms of the analytics?
Yeah.
Let's go to some of the more exciting stuff that we kind of talked about in the very beginning of the episode, mm-hmm. you know, around AI. And I feel like maybe we can divide that up a little bit into the content piece of it. Again, you know, I think everyone's using AI today to maybe help them write emails or documents, okay. or, you know, I mean, it's being used by doctors to create their reports. So obviously, you know, content and image creation is huge. And that obviously, I mean, website, you know, especially public facing websites, I mean, that's one of the main things. So I don't know, have you guys, is that one of the things where hopefully AI will help your team? manage the content and images and videos? Or what's the plan?
We're really still determining what the plan is, to be perfectly honest. My team has been very, very involved with working with different AI platforms, Gen AI platforms over the past probably year and a half or so, maybe 2 years. And really, of course, it's exploded over the last, I feel like it's everywhere. Anything I look at online or anything I hear in this space is AI now over the past 6 or 8 months or so. But we've really been looking at and exploring different ways that we can utilize Gen AI to really do some of the more kind of tedious, lower risk kind of stuff that healthcare systems or digital marketers have to do. By that, I mean things like using Gen AI to help reformat a piece of content for social media or to develop some different things. I'm not big on the use of Gen AI for writing or for just content writing. I think I much prefer a human being the actual author. And I think that's going to be playing. We're going to find that to be a ranking factor or be something that actually matters as the day goes on. But taking a piece of content and turning it into a quiz or FAQs or a summary or language translations, categorizing some different kinds of content or
utilizing like headlines or
or utilizing it to do some take some meeting notes or turn meeting notes into action items or user manuals, things like that, where you can kind of take an existing piece of content that has been, we live in a clinical space most of the time in a healthcare system. So the information we have is always going to be vetted and approved by a subject matter expert on the medical side. So taking something like that has already been approved from its base level and creating and spinning out different types of content and forms of content for different channels while still making sure that they are still correct. There's no point of our content creation or content publication that skips that, hey, this is right, this is good by a clinical expert. And I think that's where ChatGPT and some of the AI models just kind of, they'll make things up still. It's
they hallucinate, right? And it's like, yeah, no, this is correct. And then you ask them again and it's like, oh, no, sorry. I didn't mean that.
Right. Just you have to, basically reword your prompt and get a totally different answer on the same subject. And I think you can use AI to, as it is now, I think for digital marketers, we can use these things to, keyword research and some of the search volume data and things that can be really time consuming and tedious for marketers to do. And that allows us to work on some of the larger picture things that are on our plates. Baptist Health has a committee for kind of AI policy as a system. And they are in the process, or we are in the process of really writing multiple policies that cover the use of AI within the system from a clinical standpoint, but then also the use of AI within the system from an internal kind of employee to employee standpoint. And in the meetings, I've asked, some different questions about it. It's like, at what point do I, as a employee, if I'm doing a presentation to leadership on search volumes and things like that, or our strategy, and I've used ChatGPT to help me do this, does that need to be disclosed? Or we're doing some stuff online where we have a policy on BaptistHealth.com that we use all real imagery. It's imagery that's been taken by our creative team. They're real. We don't use stock photography and all that like you used to see the same nurse looking at the same chart on everybody's website 10 years ago or so. But if we're eventually maybe trying to use AI to manage the use of the rotations of the imagery through some of our sites or what we're using, to what point do we need to kind of say and disclose that use of AI, or does it need to be in our kind of policies or our website terms and use and all that? And it's all just kind of it's all very gray right now of how that's going to work. And in the clinical side, it's much more understandable. It's a much bigger priority for them to iron that out, because I'm sure we have fantastic caregivers throughout their system. And I'm sure they're all being told that this newest platform they're using has just now got enabled with AI. And whoa,
what does that mean?
Right,
yeah,
right, exactly.
That's funny. I mean, the other thing, as you were speaking to that, I was wondering, it's like, yeah, if you do use AI to create the content and if it just doesn't sound like it's from that area, right? Like it doesn't sound local, and it's like, well, why is it Baptist? Why is there, their blog suddenly so different sounding, and it's not the same branding. So yeah, that's a really good point. Like even employee, staff to staff, like, do you say like, hey, I use ChatGPT to create this? And it's like, wow, that's maybe that will be the way to go. And it'll be funny to see in future how the search engines would know. It's like, hey, was this created by a human or AI? And it would rank them accordingly. And I wonder if AI would rank AI more than humans.
Right. that's when the machines are taking over.
Yeah. That's when we are like, oh no, this was created by a human. Put it down on the fifth page, Like,
it's like, whenever I use ChatGPT and some of these things they're great for setting up, kind of frameworks or outlines and all that. Whenever I've looked at it, like, help me with this and write this or something, you can always tell it's AI generated, still, to your point. Read like they're AI generated. There's they use the same kind of words here and there, like in conclusion or pivotal or apostrophe. There's always like these little words that you can tell, like,
we don't usually use in common day to day. It's like, why
use them in this term or in this kind of, in this order?
That's funny. Yeah. What about like going from content to the customer service part of it? Like, I have seen, again, we have a chatbot, an AI chatbot that you can embed in your website, and it's going to help your customers find the answers instantly and all that. And I mean, it's good, but it's also kind of really scary in terms of what is AI going to respond. It's like, oh, this is where my pain is. Yeah, no, I got this. This is
right.
This is probably what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's like, where do you stop it? That's the other thing, right? Like, like you were saying, it's like, oh, now we have AI enabled. It's like, okay, where does it start and stop? Like, can you control that? We don't know.
It's like when you're working on a project and you're using one of the AI platforms, or put in your prompt, you get your answer, or maybe revise the prompt and keep going. There's eventually a point where you can just tell it's hit a wall.
Right. Yeah.
You've done four or five different prompts on the same kind of question and rephrasing, trying to get it to pivot a little bit, and it just hits a wall. And that's the point where you're like, all right, let the humans take over. But you can't do that on like a true, chatbot, AI chatbot.
Yeah.
It'll just keep going. Yeah. And where the instructions start to stop, I'm not sure how that's handled. We spun up a chatbot in 2020 or whatever, when the pandemic first began, and it was completely based on, COVID-19 information on the site and where vaccine information, where to go to get your shot and scheduling and all that stuff. But it was really contained to that section of our website and that very regulated information. And it was highly kind of adopted and highly used, but even that was not AI. That was just a decision tree. If they, if they ask for this, this is where the answer is. And it's, I'm not sure how many of these even that are out now are like true machine learning or anything like that.
But I have a feeling if you're paying for it, it will keep answering and,
until
the consumer goes away and it's like, okay. It'll just hallucinate and it's like, oh, I'll keep them happy. I'll answer something.
Right, yeah.
It's scary in terms of where that goes. What about, anything else that you guys are, I mean, again, this is very new for every organization, like you're saying, you know, everyone's coming up with policies and, and you know, the other part of it too, like, the integration of AI, like we do a lot of integration work. And, you know, one of the things that's going to come up is the sharing of the information with AI, right? Like we just talked about the analytics and Google Analytics and all that, but how, if you integrate anything, like even from EHR or any other tool from the CRM, for example, like how do you know that's not going to end up somewhere or, you know, like, where it's not intended for, or, you know, like some of these, you don't even know what clouds they are sitting on or who else they're sharing the information with or what algorithms that they're using. Anyways, like, you know, so many questions. And that's where, yeah, like we haven't gotten that many requests yet to do integration with many of the AI tools. A lot of them are kind of built on top of the EHR. You know, it's very, it's just kind of listening and it's, you know, summarizing. It's very basic right now, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I just came to me. It's like, wow, what about those things? Like how do you give it any information?
And if you look at some of the kind of the legal stuff on OpenAI, ChatGPT or whatever, there's the free version and the, and the, I think it's, was it GPT Plus or something like that, where you can use the newest version, but it's also a little bit more regulated or locked down. And then you can get enterprise licenses for ChatGPT. And I read a little bit about it. I'm not a lawyer by any stretch of the imagination, but if I recall correctly, they explicitly state that anything you use on the free version, they can use to train. So anything you upload into free version of GPT is fair game, but that, you know, maybe I think it's the enterprise version where it's your own kind of entity.
Your own instance
Right. And how that works exactly for a corporation with, you know, thousands of licenses or seats on that, I don't know, but it's important to realize that it's one of those things, just because it's free for you to use, there's a cost. You know, you are the customer still when you're using it, and healthcare systems have to be very cognizant of what their users or what their employees are, you know, loading into those things. You can't just load up, you know, some patient records and ask how to treat this person. You know, that's just not.
Imagining a physician just loading up a report and it's like, what do you think is wrong with this patient?
Right.
This is what's wrong with, you know, John Doe here. And it's like, wow, here you go.
Exactly.
But even the enterprise version, like, I feel like, okay, it may not share the data, but then how is it going to learn new things? You know, like,
right.
I'll tell you, like, HIMSS last year and everybody had AI in their solution. Like,
Right.
And, you know, we have a new solution. It's integration detection and response solution, and it's ML based. And, you know, we are going to put AI on top of it, but we don't say it's fully AI enabled, because that means it actually is making its own decisions and figuring out what the issues are. You know, it is actually machine learning. Yeah. It's like plug and play. It's like, no, it's not there. It's machine learning.
And we have a couple of people, I think, from the team that are going to HIMSS this year.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And some to Forum. And I'm excited to see what some of the, what they come back with. You know,
we'll definitely let me know who it is, because we'll be there. And we're also going to the Vive conference in LA.
Oh, yeah. I looked at that one. I couldn't make it. I kind of wanted to go to that one. And I don't know if anybody from Baptist, at least that I know of, is making it this year.
Yeah, because that one, I think as a provider, I don't think it costs that much, or maybe it might be even free if you kind of meet with so many vendors and all that. And which might be, you know, it's like, oh, I'll just pay for it. But
I'll pay for it.
Well, this was amazing. Like, we already are 45 minutes in, but you know, any last parting thoughts that that you want to share in terms, you know, for digital marketing, AI, anything that's upcoming?
I think the biggest thing that I'm excited about with on the AI side, personally for my team, is that we just instituted, I think, every other Wednesday, I think, like from 12 to 5 or something like that, trying to block out everybody's calendars on my team, because there's obviously so many meetings and everything else that go. So I'm sure this is not going to be 100% meeting free every other Wednesday afternoon, but trying to give them some time so they can kind of brainstorm and ideate on how they could use AI to kind of improve the quality or improve some of the tedious parts of their work. What sort of things could they use AI on? What sort of tasks that would kind of eliminate some of that just churn on their calendars? What could we use it as a team that would kind of benefit the healthcare system from a digital standpoint and from a marketing standpoint? And just using it really to brainstorm and have that set time on our calendar so you know that this is what we're going to be working on. And it's not meant to be, you know, time where you have to sit on a Zoom call or anything, because we're all remote. But I would like it to use, hopefully it becomes collaborative as people on the team are, you know, we're talking about different use cases and different projects, and we jump on a call or jump in a quick meeting in person, even if for a few hours, to kind of just brainstorm and really come up with some best uses. And it's something we haven't been able to do because of, you know, everybody is so busy. But I think that sort of learning is essential to our team getting better over time, as you can't just do and can't just work and produce and create the whole time. There has to be time to better the operations, to better yourselves as a team, and to come up with new things. And you can't always do that if you're just constantly just go. So hopefully it's a little bit of reset time to allow us to be able to try to, you know, come up with some new ideas and more efficiencies and all that. So I'm really excited to see where that goes. Mm-hmm. My hope is that it becomes some really collaborative and productive time every couple of weeks, and not, hey, I don't have to have any meetings, so I can just, you know, relax a little bit, or that meeting start getting scheduled over it. So we'll have to see how it goes.
That's a really good idea. I mean, hopefully that helps some of our listeners or sparks, you know, maybe they can also adapt the same thing with their teams. I mean, it does take a little bit of research, you know. It's
right,
like you said, it's not just about, oh, let's just start using ChatGPT on however we like, and, you know, yeah, that's probably not going to end up well. So yeah, no, thanks for sharing your thoughts again, and thanks for coming on the pod, and this was a lot of fun.
Awesome.
And we'll have to do this again. And yep, thanks again for all the listeners. You know, keep sending your feedback and how we can do this podcast better. And thanks to our sponsors, Tito Inc. And until next time, good night.
Thanks, Beck.